Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Gabriel Castillo, part one. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Gabriel Castillo. He's written a book called The Power of the Rosary. We're going to talk about that book, about Mary and her intercession for us through the rosary. He's also the youth pastor at St. Teresa's Catholic Church in Sugarland, Texas. And he's also has a YouTube channel, Gabi After Hours. You probably might have seen him there. But this is the first of two shows we're doing with him. And we're now going to Reflection with Gabriel Castillo.
One of my favorite quotes comes from servant of God Joseph Kentenich. He is the founder of the Schoenstatt movement. He said that those who pray the rosary do more for the church and the good of souls than all the orators, all the writers, all the evangelists, and all the financiers of all the church's missions by just praying the Holy Rosary. So often people feel like they're not contributing to the good of souls and the good of the church. If you're praying the rosary, Our Lady is using those graces to help to bring about conversions all over the world. Another quote that I really love is from St. Maximilian Kolbe, that if you pray the rosary using your imagination, trying to enter into the mystery, that you will hear the voice of God, not in your head, but tuggings on your heart, prompting you to do God's holy will and giving you indication on how you should do it.
Well, Gabriel Castillo, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Father Mark, thanks for having me. Love your program.
Thank you. I loved your book, The Power of the Rosary. We're going to talk about Mary and the power of praying the rosary and the impact you can have in our life. Maybe can you just give us a quick thumbnail of your own story with Mary?
Sure. So I grew up with a single mother, and I didn't have any religious education whatsoever growing up. And so I looked to the world to show me what a man was gonna be, because I didn't have a father and I had no religion. And so the world told me power, money, and promiscuity are the answers to happiness. And because I didn't have access to power and I was not wealthy, I sought to find meaning and purpose in like sexuality and sexual promiscuity. And so from a young age, I had an addiction to pornography. Thanks be to God, I got a scholarship to the University of St. Thomas in Houston, Texas, where I was forced to take philosophy and take theology courses. And I went in to make my sacrament of confirmation as a young adult. Mm-hmm. And then I had a massive conversion. And to get out of my life of sin, my pornographic addiction, I turned to Our Lady, I turned to the Most Holy Rosary, and I noticed that previously, my mind used to be flooded with impure thoughts, and my will was so weak from constantly giving in to temptation that by praying the rosary, putting the life of Christ in my imagination, my thoughts became more ordered, and I had the grace, and I started to develop a stronger will, and I was able to overcome all of those, I believe, diabolical temptations that I had previously been giving into. Mm-hmm. And so as I was converting, the prayer that gave me strength and was helping me to win victories, I wanted to learn more about it. And I went to the local Catholic bookstore, and they had St. Louis de Montfort's classic, The Secret of the Rosary. Mm-hmm. And so I took that in. I began to have the rosary kind of as a way of life, because in St. Louis de Montfort's book, he was promoting praying all of the mysteries, praying them in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was really like destroying my self-love and self-will. Mm-hmm. And just God's life, the gospel's always in my mind, made an impact and permeated me. So.
Right. It's interesting too, like just the way you tell it, you had this conversion experience and then you're in this struggle. I mean, the struggle was throughout, but it's like the conversion experience didn't take away the struggle.
No, it did not. No, not at all.
So people watching this, I mean, we all know that if you're trying to be a follower of Christ, trying to grow in the spiritual life, there is a struggle. And it's a cooperation with grace. And I know for me, I had this conversion experience, and then I was learning about the faith more, and I just read the phrase that Mary is the mediatrix of all graces. And I had had a conversion kind of through her with apparition sites and stuff, but at that point I remember thinking, I really better have a devotion to
her. Yes, absolutely.
And maybe that's a segue for us into some of the theology of Mary. People might be watching this and say, why are you Catholics always talking about Mary?
Right.
And even some Catholics don't fully get it. And it is a mystery. I grant you that. I mean, Mary and her role of cooperation involves, it seems like, all this theology of our
yes.
faith. In Vatican II said when she has
right.
proclaimed the truths of the faith that like resonate in her
yes.
and made manifest. So let's talk a little about that, the theology behind Mary.
Sure. So I like, from my own understanding, I used to have the question, how much Mary, how much Jesus, and then this one concept of the church radicalized and was like a paradigm shift of how I viewed Mary in relationship to Jesus. So when I understood that Christ is calling me to be another Christ, that it is not just that he wants me to be his follower, but he wants me to be transformed. He wants me to be him for the world. And so when you view yourself as another Jesus, then if I'm a member of the body of Christ, Mary's my mother.
Right.
And so by saying, Mary, I love you, Mary, you're my mother, Mary, guide me, Mary, all these things make me like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I noticed three things that happened when I kind of accepted Mary as mother in Christ. So Christ is going to be our model for true and authentic Marian devotion. Is your Marian devotion off? Well, did you love Mary the way Christ did? Are you viewing her as your mother, as your formator? Then your Marian devotion is right on key.
Mm-hmm.
So by just giving your life or opening or surrendering, giving her permission, that makes you like Christ. Two, you give Mary permission to take an active role in your life. Marian devotion isn't like something that we check off of a box. It's a real filial relationship where Our Lady mothers you and ministers to you. And I have found that when people make a Marian consecration, a surrendering of their life over to Jesus through Mary, that the providences of life, Maximilian Kolbe, whose relic you have back here, would say, once you've consecrated your life to Mary, you can freely accept everything as if it came from her hand, the bad and the good, and then she will help you to bring good out of all of those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing that I have found is that when you have a relationship with Mary, every child resembles their parent. So mm-hmm. the more time you spend with Mary in prayer, the more you become pure like Mary, the more you become patient like Mary, the more you become understanding and slow to respond.
Mm.
So just so many amazing, beautiful things
yeah.
happen. But
yeah.
always the key, I want to model my Marian devotion off of the devotion of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that happens in the rosary, because we hear quotes from the saints saying things like, Mary's the fastest, most secure path to Jesus Christ. But nowhere is that more clear than when praying the Holy Rosary. Mm-hmm. People think that when you're praying the rosary, that you're doing a Marian prayer, but in the reality, you're just spending time with Jesus in every aspect of his life, from childhood mm-hmm. to public ministry mm-hmm. to his passion and death. And the Hail Marys, a lot of people will say, oh, you're praying so many. The Hail Marys are important, but they're not that important.
Mm-hmm.
John Paul II said that the rosary could only be understood in its deepest contemplative dimension,
mm-hmm.
that praying just the words and not meditating on the life of Christ is like a body without a soul. It's
mm-hmm.
a corpse. It's good. The prayers are beautiful, mm-hmm. but what's really happening in the rosary is an encounter with Jesus, and Mary is kind of surrounding that and facilitating that encounter.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think she's amazing. And people are often afraid of like entering into this relationship. Protestants can be afraid mm-hmm. of that. I know many Catholics say, I wish I had that devotion,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't have a good relationship with my mom growing up.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a wall. Marian devotion is a grace. So it's a gift from God. And the only way to get that gift is to ask for it.
Yeah.
So if a person is struggling in their Marian devotion, or they're becoming Catholic and they feel insecure about this Mariology that we have, I would say, Lord, give me the grace to love your mother the way that you loved her. Give me the
yeah.
grace to see her the way that you see her. And that prayer will be answered.
Yeah. And you say it succinctly in the book, too, that if you belong to the body of Christ, you have Mary as your mother.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and so we believe she's a human person. She had to live by faith, hope, and charity. Yeah. And she's a model disciple. She gives that surrender, the fiat, let it be done to me according to your word. She's completely giving herself over to Christ, the Father's will and everything. And one of my favorite passages on her is from John 19. It says, 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. So he speaks to Mary first. He's calling her woman, and that connects to Genesis 3:15, mm-hmm. The seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. And so it's elevating this, it's using a language of salvation. And the woman in Revelation 12, battling the serpent. And he speaks to her first, behold your son, and then to John, behold your mother. That Mary has got this role to be a mother over John. Mm-hmm. And that's her mediation as a maternal one, as you mentioned. But he's giving her to us on the cross.
Yes.
He dies like two sentences later.
Yeah.
Short sentences, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so what does this command mean? Behold your son. And how are we supposed to? This is significant. These are his last instructions to us coming out of the heart of redemption.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break.
Sure.
Think about that. We'll make some more comments. So
yes, definitely.
Be back in a moment. Well, Gabriel, I know we don't want to sit here and do quotes, but there's another quote from John Paul II I like. It says, "From Mary, we learn to surrender in God's will in all things. From Mary, we learn to trust even when all hope seems lost." And I don't know, it just strikes me as so powerful because she's the model disciple. She gives her fiat, "Let it be done to me according to your word." It leads her up to the foot of the cross, seeing her son crucified. And we all have situations we feel are hopeless.
Yep.
And we don't want to let go of it. And we don't want to turn it over. And Mary, praying the rosary, her drawing close to us, walking with us, can help us have that surrender that we need.
Yeah, and you mentioned that when our Lord gave John as a mother, it made me think of St. Alphonsus Liguori. He said that in the heart of Mary, if you took all of the love of every mother who's ever lived and combined it into one person, that's how the Virgin Mary loves each individual soul. And one of the greatest Marian insights that I've ever had in my life was watching one of my children being born. And the first three, I was kind of just traumatized by the whole experience because I just didn't know what to expect. My wife had a C-section. I looked over the little blue curtain. I see her cut open. But with the last child, I received a great grace. So they take the baby out of my wife, they hand her to my wife, and my wife, just her eyes are like, just looking at this child from head to toe. She doesn't care that she's not wearing clothes. She doesn't care that her stomach is ripped open. She's just consuming this child with her eyes. And then it hit me, that's the way that the Mother of God looks at me at every single moment. And I know my wife would do anything for that baby. Mm-hmm. And if the Mother of God has the love of every mother who's ever lived, and she's the Queen of Heaven and Earth, she has every angel at her disposal, how much more will she fight for the soul? And Alphonsus said one more thing that stands out to me about the foot of the cross is that in order for Mary to call me her son and to call you her son, it cost her son. So she willingly gave up her son so that she can look at Father Mark and say, "That's my son." Mm. And so she loves you with the love that she had for Christ on the cross, which was like an infinite love. Yeah. And so although we go to Mary because we're sad or we're suffering, and Mary will mother us, what she wants first and foremost is for us to become Christ. And so she will console us, but she will also allow us to be put in circumstances where we have to rise to the occasion. Because every mother wants to be proud of her children. Yeah. And so being Marian, according to Louis de Montfort, doesn't mean that you have less crosses. You might even have more crosses, but they're dipped in honey. Yeah. And we saw that, like you mentioned, in the life of Pope John Paul II, losing his mother from a young age,
right,
going to the parish church and telling the Madonna, "You must be my mother now." Mm-hmm. The history of Poland, Our Lady of Częstochowa is a history of war and battle and struggle. So
yeah,
she is a light to us.
That's what struck me. I remember within a month of each other, I went to Our Lady of Champion, and I just experienced like the tender, there's a presence of the tender Mary, mm-hmm, mother there. Mm-hmm. I went to Częstochowa, and I felt the strength of Mary.
Yes.
Because I thought, you know, this whole country makes a pilgrimage to this place, you know, and yeah, they've been partitioned a number of times, they've been invaded, they've lost boundaries and all this stuff. They need a strength,
yeah,
to persevere under Nazism and the Soviet Union and all this stuff.
And even their icon, like she's got cuts on her face. So like, yeah, this is a woman who goes into battle. And that's right, the story of those people.
Right. Yeah, and I've experienced that too, one time too, just like her strength that she, I forgot the title now in the litany, but there's one that speaks of her strength. And oftentimes I'm thinking of her as a tender mother, but that motherhood has this strength that she cares about our eternal destiny, and she's going to do what it takes there to pray for us. And, those are beautiful thoughts. And the rosary is one of the things we're going to talk about maybe in the second show more about how to pray the rosary.
Sure.
But maybe just some benefits of the rosary in general. You write that Mary will be your constant companion and you will have peace in your soul,
yes,
praying the rosary.
So when you properly pray the rosary, and we'll talk about that later, and you're spending time with Jesus in the mysteries, Mary gives a sense of her presence. The Holy Spirit does permeate the soul. Your circumstance might not change, but there is a certain grace that is given where you feel close to Jesus Christ. And in that little space, this is another reason why there's peace. God reveals His will. A lot of people say, how do I know when God is speaking to me? How do I know what voice in my head to listen to? God doesn't speak in the voice in your head. That interior monologue can easily be manipulated by the devil. Mm-hmm. It's easy to fool yourself to, mm-hmm, say what you want to hear. But in the depths of the soul, God puts something heavy on the conscience that He wants to do. Maybe that's apologize to somebody or reconcile a broken relationship. And when you go through with it and you have the grace to do it because you've been praying, a deeper peace enters the soul because you're fulfilling God's holy will. And then when you do that, then graces are given. When you're living a life in union with the will of God, you're doing your duties because they're God's holy will, then not only are your prayers obtaining grace, your, mm-hmm, actions are obtaining grace. And these graces begin to flood into your family and your friends. You're not even preaching to them. You're not telling them they should go to church, but on their own, they're thinking, hey, they've got a peace about them that I wish I had.
Yeah.
Maybe I,
yeah,
should get closer to God.
Right.
It just makes you question,
yeah,
the meaning and the purpose of your life. And I've also noticed that those who pray the rosary, Bartolo Longo, who's going to be canonized soon, said, "He who you approach in your thought, you will desire to approach in reality." Mm-hmm. And I have noticed people who begin to pray the rosary begin to frequent the sacraments, and they receive the grace to receive the sacraments worthily and reverently and on a regular basis. People who are in confession lines, usually you'll see them with a rosary in their hand. Mm-hmm. People who are in Eucharistic adoration, they'll be there with a rosary in their hand. So it looks like you're spending more time with Mary. But even if that was true, you're spending more time with Jesus, she's going to bring you to His,
yeah,
real presence,
yeah,
in reality.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so true. Those two pillars of devotion,
yes,
the vision of Don Bosco, mm-hmm, and the bark of Peter going through it. And even like John Paul II's tomb in St. Peter, right? He's got the Adoration Chapel,
yeah,
on one side and the Pietà,
exactly,
on the other. He was such a model of that. But yeah, she brings us to where we need to be. And I like what you said, that she's a constant companion. John Paul II wrote that in the rosary, we receive graces as if from the very hand of Mary.
Yes.
And I love that thing, that feel like she's with us, mediation of all grace, she's giving us graces, she's accompanying us on this journey, and to have this beautiful mother that's in her, that's what a consolation.
Yeah. That is. And one of the first steps to praying, all prayer, is making an act of recollection, just simply recognizing the presence of God close to us. Yeah. And so when you do that, when you're praying the rosary, that sense of the presence of Mary doesn't leave you after you finish praying. Like, you go to it to have a sense of her presence, and then you're able to do your work as a prayer. A lot of people like to quote, you know, Thérèse of Lisieux and say, well, I want to do the little way. But Thérèse of Lisieux is a contemplative first and foremost. So she would enter into deep prayer and then bring Christ with her in her daily activities. And mm-hmm. ideally, that's what happens when we pray the rosary. If you pray it on the way to work, you're praying it on your way home after work.
Right.
You bring Christ into your family life if you're doing it after work. You're bringing it into your work life if you're doing it before work.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that ends our first show. We're going to do a second show with you, Gabriel, so look forward to that. But thanks
for joining
us.
Thank you, Father. You're the best. Appreciate you.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Gabriel. I can't get that image out of my mind that he told about his wife and the delivery, the C-section, and he's looking at her and she's holding the baby for the first time in front of her and looking at the child and just like examining her, just like inhaling the child, looking at every aspect and just the intensity, laying there, you know, half naked with this child, like she'd just been through a war. A battle, that this is just a fruit of that. I think of Our Lady at the foot of the cross, seeing her son crucified, and Jesus is giving her to us to be our mother. Because we're in a battle, we're in a war, there is a great struggle between light and darkness, between evil and goodness, between love and hate, in all our lives. And she is there paying this fierce attention to us to help us to get to heaven, to intercede for us, that we may receive this new life that Jesus has given us, that he may be born in us. You know, she brings him to the world. She wants to foster that birth of life in us, that grace in us. You think about Revelation 12, she's battling that ancient serpent, right? There's this war breaks out there. And then when she's protected, Satan goes off to make war on her offspring, those who proclaim Christ and keep the Ten Commandments. Right, that's the offspring of Mary. It's pretty simple. You know, are you witnessing to Christ? Are you living a moral life? Satan's going to come after you. But the good news is she is there, also an image of the church is there, to protect us, to give us grace in this battle, strength in this battle that we need to persevere. So she's our great ally. And she has this fierce motherly love that doesn't miss anything in our life, but intercedes for us. So I send you into that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
Blood of pride, I am nourished now as I'm born. Of living life, God's undying breath.